Converts, OGs, hockey fans, what's going on? It's NJ. This is the Sunday Spectacular NHL Trade Deadline Eve edition. The Leafs, a 6-3 winner over the Habs at Scotiabank Arena on Saturday. It wasn't the prettiest thing, but it was exhilarating, wasn't it? Anytime the Leafs beat the Habs, especially in a fashion like that, coming from behind, popping six straight, it's pretty nice. But the Leafs have much more work to do. What will they do between now and 3 p.m. on Monday when the NHL trade deadline finally closes up? Are the Leafs going to make the moves that they'll need to make to beat the Boston Bruins? That's what I'm concerned about. Let's find out what Mike Augello has to say. The Leafs Combo starts now. The Leafs Combo is brought to you by Vanguard Northeast Realty. With over 15 years' experience, Vanguard provides superior level of service for commercial real estate tenants and owners. For more information, visit vanguardne.ca. And we've linked up with the one and only Michael Piaggiello in Cheektowaga, New York, for the Sunday Spectacular NHL Trade Deadline Eve styles. Michael, how are you?
Good morning, Norman. I'm well, and after a 6-3 victory over the Montreal Canadiens, I think Leafs Nation is probably very happy, but we're now a little over 24 hours away from the big day when it comes to trades.
That was an exhilarating win for the fans, certainly the players, for management. And this team's plans going into the next 24 hours, not so sure it was a good win.
Yeah, I mean, it was. It fell back on the concerns that we have had about the Leafs for the last little while in terms of the slow starts. I mean, I know Babcock in his post-game press comments said they got off to a good start, but and then, you know, allowed a couple goals, but you know, they didn't really take advantage of a couple opportunities. They couldn't get the puck past Carey Price. They gave up three goals in the first period. And, you know, you keep doing that. You give up two goals to Washington. You give up two goals to St. Louis. When, in a playoff scenario, you do that, you're probably not coming back no matter how talented you are. But against Montreal in a regular season situation, they were able to chip away. You know, but they had to spend a lot of energy to do it. And then, you know, after getting a tied 3-3 on a lucky Nylander goal, and I'm not saying lucky, for, you know, it was a bounce off the board. You'll take those goals. You'll take them. But then they score three goals in the last 2 minutes and change of regulation. It's a good victory. They get the points. They needed the points. But again, what you see in terms of concerns were there again.
This is the Leafs Combo for Vanguard Northeast Realty. Norm James with Mike Augello. The Habs are a fun team. That's a fast team. They have played well this year, and I'm pretty impressed with the way they go about their business. They play above their heads. The Leafs are much more talented, and that talent took over as the Canadians, as you said, and the Leafs have expended all of their energy, all of their talent, all of their you know, run of the play, and then just couldn't continue to keep up with the Maple Leafs, who came on late. But the Habs were really impressive. And one thing I like about them is they're physical. They throw the weight around. You saw that hit Domi threw on Andreas Johnsson. And I know we have a younger generation of fans who loathes anything physical, but it's still part of the game. And I think it's a fun part of the game if done right. And if it doesn't devolve into chaos and debauchery. So what we saw there is a slight example of the kinds of things the Leafs will encounter when the playoffs roll around, especially if they're taking on that black and yellow team, Mike. So the Leafs can't transform into a physical team overnight, but they better batten down the hatches, man, because they're not going to win a series with a bunch of ballerinas out there. These guys are going to have to toughen up a little bit man to man. And I don't know, either throw their own weight around or expect a real rough ride from the Bruins in the playoffs.
Well, I don't think they really have much weight to throw around. I mean, that's the thing. Like Jake Muzzin and Nazem Kadri, who's not in the lineup right now, and maybe one or two others like Zach Hyman, will throw a check. But that's not their game. Their game essentially is to turn the other cheek, to draw penalties, to frustrate the other teams with their speed and their forechecking, and to get power plays. And yesterday they got a couple power play goals, one from Matthews, one from Ennis. So I mean if it works, it's great. But I think
it's ridiculous.
Yeah, playoffs,
Mike. Sorry, you're cutting off. That whole concept is absolutely ridiculous.
I know.
Tell me where that's ever – where has that ever worked in the playoffs? I mean, which team has won a Stanley Cup playing the, you know, the shy away, come catch me if you can kind of game? Yeah. It's absolutely – it's foolish. It's ridiculous. And anybody who's thinking that is looking at a computer program and developing their own little strategies with numbers and metrics. We're not talking about real people here, because if we are talking about real people, that kind of nonsense just doesn't work. It's fantasy.
Well, even Mike Babcock's teams in 08 and 09, one that won a game seven, the other one that lost a game seven. It wasn't a pure skill, no physical pushback team. There were players their role was to stick up for the skill players. Yeah. And I think, again, that's what they need, but whether they can get anybody before tomorrow at 3 p.m., I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I saw Travis Dermott try to throw a hit. And look, we're not hammering on these guys for not being physical. That's just not their game. It would just be nice if this team had a Wayne Simmonds and a Tom Wilson to help it navigate its way through the playoffs. And I don't care if you think that these guys are knuckle draggers or they're just, you know, you wouldn't sit in a pub and have a beer with them. I could care less, because that's not what it's about. What it's about is winning a Stanley Cup. And anybody who cares about winning a Stanley Cup understands you do what you have to do to succeed and win, Mike. That's what you have to do. So over the next 25 to, 26 hours or whatever it is, what is it, 10 o'clock right now? I don't know. What's the math on that? 24 plus 5, 29 yep. hours.
28
hours. What are the Maple Leafs thinking here? Yeah. Hey, you think American, I think Canadian, okay? we are an hour time difference, right? What's the exchange on the time right now, Mike?
Well, we're not at Atlantic or Newfoundland time, so.
Hey, you know what movie I saw last night for the first time? The Hangover.
Oh, God.
That was a fun movie.
Yes.
Careful, I'm going to get ripped on YouTube. Stick to hockey, man, on your podcast. Don't talk about anything but what I want to hear on your podcast, Norm. Sorry, it's a Sunday spectacular. Anything goes. I'm feeling a little loopy. Got a Costco trip coming up, so trying to get myself ready for it. So over the next several hours, Mike, what are the Maple Leafs thinking here? Because that's what people really, really want to know. Are the Maple Leafs going to do something dramatic, drastic, crazy to alter the complexion of this team, hopefully on the defensive unit, maybe around the fourth line? And you know what? Tell the rest of the league, look, guys, we have the talent to go deep. And now we're bringing in reinforcements, so you better beware.
Yeah, I don't think that fans should hold their breath for the big move, because the signals are being sent out there. The only thing I can say about in terms of like a top four, which we've been talking about ad nauseum, is that Elliot Friedman continues to bring up Brandon Montour's name. And we do know that Dubas went to Anaheim to watch the Ducks last week. It was an interesting thing, because in his 31 thoughts, and I wrote about it a little bit yesterday in my column on Hockey Buzz, was the fact that Anaheim, in spite of the fact that Montour has another year and they have a really deep defense, but they have an issue with Jakob Silverberg, who is a pending UFA. They apparently have agreed to a contract, but they haven't announced the contract because there's something called a tagging rule in the league where you can't spend above the current salary cap for next year. And like, if they sign Silverberg for a 5-year deal at over $5 million, uh-huh, their cap number will be over what the cap is right now for next year. So that might mean that they may be willing to trade a Montour if they get the return that they think they would get in the summer, because that would allow them to sign Silverberg. Now, that's a long shot. That's very convoluted, very complicated. In general, I think the Leafs may add a depth defenseman. Now, the thing is that we've seen over the last 48 hours, guys like Ben Lovejoy got traded. Guys like Nick Jensen from Detroit got traded. The rental market, other than Adam McQuaid, is really evaporating. I personally don't think McQuaid is a fit with the Leafs, because, you know, for one thing, if they get McQuaid, I think Mike Babcock is going to probably scratch Travis Dermott or go with seven defensemen. Yeah. Al Dubas wants to give Babcock the excuse to scratch a good young defenseman in Dermott in the playoff situation. So I know people will laugh. I keep bringing this back. I think there's a very good possibility that Roman Polak may be coming back. Dallas traded for Matt Zuccarello yesterday. They had to have the Rangers eat, I think, 30% of the contract just to fit him in. They're really tight up against the cap. That's a situation where if they get injuries and things of that nature, they won't be able to call up people, so they may have to create a little space. Obviously, Babcock knows Pollock. I mean, we're talking about a depth defenseman, so I think that's the limitation of where they're going to go unless something breaks and they just, get a top four guy fall into their lap. I think where the impact move, and I'm just saying, not in terms of a top six, top nine guy, I think it's going to be up front. I think it'll be, long shot on Michael Ferland, but maybe. But probably a Kyle Clifford or a Luke Glendening or some type of physical forward who can help the fourth line. Because yesterday, did you see who gave up the puck on the one goal? Freddie the Goat. And it's just in a playoff scenario, Norm, I can't see Freddie Gauthier playing 10, 11 minutes. No.
And Andreas Johnsson getting totally steamrolled by Max Domi. Look, it's the way it goes, right? Those kinds of hits can make a huge difference in the playoffs. I don't want a dipshit joining this team out there eating up minutes that just mean nothing. Now let's talk about this real quick, okay? People don't want to see an older guy come in or someone who doesn't necessarily figure into the long-term strategy and so an Adam McQuaid over a Travis Dermott. You want Travis Dermott to have the opportunity to grow and understand and become better in the playoffs. And I wouldn't want that guy out of the lineup for any reason, honestly, because I'm a huge fan of his. And he's the new Jake Gardner, because number 51, ride or die, baby, he's done. But we're not talking about supplanting a player like that in November for a dumbass or a guy who's just going to eat minutes for no other reason than just be out there and veteran sage and experience. This is the playoffs. You're putting people in positions for purpose to win games and win series. And if Travis Dermott, for some reason, or someone else you might think deserves more minutes, had to sit in place of a rental or someone who's come in to augment the group for a short period of time, but you win a series, that's what matters the most at this point. Because for the Maple Leafs right now, the goal has to be getting past the Boston Bruins. This team is not going to win a Stanley Cup until it exercises the demons and faces these fears of taking on the black and yellow, black and gold, whatever the hell you want to call them, and beating them. Now, it would be nice to know that you can beat them with a group that will press forward and ultimately hoist that damn jug. But we just don't know right now. And I get the sense that this group has another gear to go to, but I'm not sure that the entire group will be able to sustain that energy push forward and be able to sustain it. While the forward group, and you have John Tavares, and you're expecting him to make some appreciable contributions in the positive for the Leafs in the playoffs because they didn't have him before, I'm concerned that this defensive group and the physicality that it lacks, not just the defensive group, but the team as a whole, will not be able to keep up with the offensive capabilities this team has and generally has in to greater degree than most of the teams that it will play. I'm just not sure that this team is comprised of the right parts equally that make it ready to not only beat Boston, but push through Tampa and go on to win a Stanley Cup for the first time since 67. I think right now the goal has to be for these guys to put in a good showing against Boston and beat them, not only to make themselves feel good about what they're going to do going forward, but also make sure the head coach can avoid the hot seat. Mike, we got to wrap up. Final thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, the Leafs, to be able to have success in the playoffs, are going to have to maximize, their offense is one of the best in the league, but to maximize the effectiveness of that offense, you have to be able to shut down the opposition. And the one concern about the Bruins is that, the Leafs have had no ability in the past to shut down Pastrnak, Bergeron, and Marchand. Now, you have to worry because the Bruins, even after Charlie Coyle, are going to go for another, supposedly another top six forward. It could be Kevin Hayes. It could be a number of players, but they're gonna add another player before Monday at 3 p.m. And, you know, not to say that I want Kyle Dubas and the Leaf fans want Kyle Dubas to go tit for tat and say, okay, they added somebody, so we have to. But you see that team, you know, Pastrnak will be back for the playoffs. They add Coyle. They add another guy. They've got an experience on the blue line. They've got experience in goal. They've got one of the best lines in hockey. There are areas that you can address, if it's not the top four defense, that you can address in the next 27, 28 hours, and it won't cost you a lot, like a depth forward, like a Kyle Clifford, yeah. Glenn Denning.
Yeah,
I sure. think that you have to do that because it won't have an adverse effect on the future. It just gives your team a better chance to have success now. So I think Dubas will do that because I think he recognizes that there are some limitations with the lineup as it is. That fourth line, I think, will be really good with Tyler Ennis, with Connor Brown. And if you got a fourth line center instead of Lindholm or even Lindholm over Gauthier, but I think that's the extent of what they can upgrade. I don't think they're going to add somebody to play the wing with Matthews or a top four defenseman. So get what you can get to improve yourself before 3 p.m. on Monday.
I love Tyler Ennis, man. He's a fun player. He's not a fourth liner. He's better than that. He could probably play on some team's second line.
Norm, I would sign, you know, with this team needing cheap talent. He apparently loves it in Toronto. He gets along well with.
Oh, he's great.
I would sign him to a couple year deal if you could get him for like $1 million, $1.5 million, you know, something realistically low. But I would sign him because he's the type of like reasonably priced guy that they're going to have to get when they're paying Marner $10 million and Matthews $11.6 million.
And Ennis produces.
Yep.
He's a good player. He knows how to play. He's a good guy to have on that fourth line. I mean, he's a midget, but you know what? Is that socially acceptable? I apologize. He's a small player.
He's challenged height wise.
Well, yeah. And, hey, I'm that guy too, Mike. Look, the Leafs. I'd like to know from OG's Converse. Anybody who listens. Even if you don't consider yourself part of our community or you want to one day and you're still not sure, tell me why this team is going to be okay right now. And we're not, the sky isn't falling. This team's good. But Tampa's won 8 in a row. They've got 98 points. Boston's 8-0-2. The Leafs are 6-3-1 in their last 10. That's just not good enough. The Leafs have to be better. Tell me why the Leafs are fine. Why this group can just rip through Boston, rip through Tampa, hoist the Stanley Cup this season in 16 wins, almost 16-4. Why? We get a lot of pushback, Mike, on the way we view this team as if we're negative. We're not negative at all. We're realistic. I want this team to win a Stanley Cup probably more than anybody else. But it's if you look at this team right now, you can't tell me this team's ready to win a Stanley Cup. So if you think this team is going to be fine, just tell me in the YouTube comments section. Let me know how you think this team is going to be fine if it works out to this team somehow beating Boston this year and then next year taking further steps towards the ultimate goal. Then that makes sense to me. But if I'd like to know from those who think that this team, the way it is put together now, will have no problem with Boston and is better than Tampa. If you actually think that, I'd like just lay it out for me. Don't start regurgitating records. This team is this. They've won this many games. They've lost this many games. I don't care about that. Give me your breakdown on how this Maple Leafs team is going to go about beating Boston. I honestly might think that the goal now has to be finishing the season really strong, as many points as you possibly get. Feel good about your game. Continue to build towards more positive results in the future. Go at Boston, take them down with whatever you need to do, with however many players you need to bring on board, Roman Pollock, Kyle Clifford, Brandon Montour, Luke Glendening, I don't care who it is. Get through Boston, check that off, and start moving forward. Mike, we got to get going, man.
Thanks, Norman.
We would like to thank Vanguard Northeast Realty in Scarborough, title sponsor of the Leafs Convo, demonstrating passion for the industry and a superior level of excellence in selling, leasing, and marketing your property. Vanguard Northeast Realty. That's a wrap for the Sunday Spectacular. Thanks so much for listening at Norman James TLC, at Mike in Buffalo. Get at us inside the YouTube comments section. If anything breaks with the Maple Leafs, any transactions involving the Maple Brothers, Mike and I will stop what we're doing in our regular lives and we will put together a podcast for you. That's 100% for sure. Plus, we will be doing another NHL trade deadline convo in and around the trade deadline tomorrow, February 25th, 3 p.m. You can count on that one too. For Mike, I'm Norm. We'll talk to you soon. The Leafs Combo's out.